Well, good morning. Actually, Pastor was going to welcome you this morning, but I thought I would step in, and it's Pastor's birthday today, so before we start our service this morning, just wanted to say that we appreciate him, we love him, and we're going to sing happy birthday to him. Happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I am holding on by my claws to the 40s, all right? But soon holding on to the edge. Well, we welcome you this morning. Thank you for that. And as always, it's a joy to be with us here and excited to have this opportunity together this morning as we celebrate our Lord and what God is doing in our church and our families. And it's good to have so many different ones with us and excited to be able just to share with you today and what Christ is doing. I was looking to find the leathers. I haven't seen them. There they are. Okay. Whew, major part of the service here this morning, and I hadn't had a chance to connect with you. It's good to have the leathers here. It's good to have the Kleisses with us, and this is Jonathan Noella. They're back here somewhere. Back there, good to have them, and then obviously the Wards that are with us here this morning. We are glad to be able to welcome those missionaries, and we'll be hearing from the leathers in just a little bit in the side of the service, but in just as, a little bit as well, we're going to be having a baptism where two of the Ward children are getting baptized, and so just a really exciting time as well as with the other children that are being baptized with them, and just grateful for what God is doing in our next generation, and looking forward to even seeing what God does in next generation believers coming to know Christ as a result of our work here in the Chattanooga area and beyond. And so keep these things in your prayers if you would. At this time, there's a special gift from Anna Creed, from the Mops ladies to a couple of other ladies. I'd like for Sandy and Jen, if they would, to start making their way up here if you would, please.
Good morning, Grace. Thank you. Yes, if I could have Sandy and Jen Grieve come forward. So as Mother's Day is quickly approaching, that's a little hint, it's next Sunday. We wanted to recognize two sweet, diligent moms who have been serving in many capacities, not only in our children's ministry, but also here at our MOPS, Moms of Preschoolers. So here at Grace, our MOPS group, we gather and support our moms. We believe in the simple fact that it's a revolutionary idea. Remarkable things happen when moms come together. This ministry is specific outreach into our community of moms of preschoolers. A high percentage of those that came last year were actually brand new to our area. This last year, our theme was We Go Together. So one of my personal favorites was, as a mentor mom, being connected specifically to specific MOPS moms. If I could have all the mentor moms just stand up, please. These moms actually encourage and speak life into younger moms. So Jen and Sandy, not only have you served your family well, but you also plan and organize our MOPS group. We as Mentor Mom put together a small gift of appreciation of your hard work that has gone into making this last year very special. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jen and Sandy, and also those who work with them in so many ways, and I'm just grateful for what the Lord is doing through those ministries. I'm going to allow you the opportunity to look in the bulletin. There is a lot there. There is several things that you need to be aware of, and I hope that you'll take a moment, peruse through that even this afternoon. But at this time, we want to begin our time of observing this baptism. And these young people, I appreciate Kelly O'Rear in the ministry that he has. And so he'll be leading this time for us this morning. And so we encourage you to draw your attention over here and let's celebrate with these young people as they take this next step of obedience.
Thank you for bringing the microphone. And I have my glasses so that I don't have to make up their stories, because I think one time I got up here to do a baptism and I didn't have my glasses and I was like, oh dear. So I just made up some stories. It was fine. What a privilege to be able to serve our body in this way and for us to picture the gospel. I want to read to you just very quickly Ephesians chapter 2, the first few verses. Paul writes, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." Then skip down to verse 4. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now, verses 8 through 10, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing." And as these kids understand, like, even baptism, this doesn't save us, and we talked about this the last time we were here, but anybody can put on a wedding ring, but putting on a wedding ring doesn't make you married, okay? Putting on the wedding ring is a picture of something that has already happened in that relationship. And what a beautiful picture we have in baptism of buried in that old life and raised to walk in newness of life. So it's a picture of the gospel, and these kiddos get that. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Church, we have four kids back here that are super excited to be baptized. And I think, what a beautiful picture. Now, you all know that it takes courage for an adult to get up in front of a group, right? So these kids, I want us to appreciate the courage that they have to stand before you and to say publicly, "I've put my trust in Christ, and by his grace, I want to follow him with my life." And I want us as a church to be inspired by their courage so that we courageously reflect the gospel as well. Well, how about we start with our son, Zachary John. Come here, buddy. Watch your step. One more step. Here we go. All right. This is mine and Amy's son, Zachary John. Zach is 7, and I just wrote out last night. So back in 2020, in December of 2020, I looked that up. One night early in December of 2020, this guy couldn't go to sleep because he was thinking. And those of you that have taught Zach know that he is a thinker, right? So I went to check on him, and he said, "I want to know what it means to put my trust in Christ." So he started asking a lot of questions. The problem is, I was not feeling well. And so at some point in time, I was like, "Oh, I so want to be able to answer these questions." So I said, "Go find your mom." And apparently, his mom did a great job at answering his questions. And that night, the gospel clicked for him. He said, "I want to put my trust in Christ." So he prayed to receive Christ. He is a thinker, again, as his teachers have realized. And his mom and I enjoy him so much, and we love helping him to process the different questions that he had. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
You excited? Okay, all right. So Zach, by standing in these waters of baptism, is it your desire to let these folks know that you have trusted Christ to be your Savior and your King, and that with his help you want to follow him the rest of your life?
Yes.
Yes, all right. Let's do this. So you're going to turn this way. So left hand, hold your nose. And right hand you're going to put on me. There we go. "Zachary John O'Rear, I baptize you, my brother, in Christ, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ, and raised to walk in newness of life." Now we have Darcy Borma. She is the 7-year-old daughter. She's good. She doesn't need me. She is the 7-year-old daughter of Paul and Katie Borma, but we have a birthday coming up, so we're 7, almost 8, right? Because they need to know that. They're almost 8. So I love Darcy's story in chatting back and forth with her folks, because she began to ask questions just a while back, just recently, during a communion service. And she turned to her sister Ellie, her older sister, and she just asked, you know, what does it mean to come to Christ? What does it mean to trust him? So Katie wrote to me that a few nights after talking with her sister, she prayed with her dad and asked Jesus to be her Savior. Is that accurate? Yeah? Okay. So Paul and Katie are longtime friends and very dear to us. And so what a privilege it is to get to baptize you this morning. Let's step back this way just a little bit. So Darcy, by your taking these waters of baptism and standing before these folks, is it your desire to let them know that you have trusted Jesus to be your Savior and King?
Yeah.
And your desire is to follow him with his help for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So why don't you, there you go. Oh man, she's got this down. Okay. I baptize you, my sister in Christ, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ, raised to walk in new life. Okay, we have two brothers being baptized. Manny, why don't you come on down here? This is Emmanuel Ward. Emmanuel is 13. And he is the oldest son of our missionaries, Andrew and Mary Ward. And I love Andrew's story. So here's another unique story of how God worked in the heart of someone that was thinking. So for Manny, there was a song, right? Is that what you told me? There was a song that kind of stirred some questions in his mind about where he stood with the Lord. So he started asking those questions and talked with mom and dad. And this has been a couple of years ago. So both he and his brother trusted Christ a couple of years ago. But recently they've been asking questions about baptism and their desire to be baptized. And let me go ahead and say this. So one of the things that their mom said to me also is that there has been clear fruit and evidence in each of their lives that they have trusted in and are growing in their relationship with Jesus. How about that? So Manny, is it your desire in standing before these folks and family we have out here too, which is super special, to let these folks know that you have trusted Christ to be your Savior and King,
yes,
and it is your desire to follow him with his help with the rest of your life?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. Let's do this. So why don't you take your nose and take my hand, take my arm. Right? Nope, right here. There we go. Okay. Emmanuel Ward, I baptize you now, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ and raised to walk in newness of life. So, this is Cyrus. So for Cyrus, it was one night in Africa when the Lord really convicted him of his sin and his need to repent. And he also has been asking questions about baptism. So, Cyrus, as you stand before our church and family, which is really special that they would be here, is it your desire to let these folks know that you have trusted Christ to be your Savior and King, and with his help, you want to follow him the rest of your life?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Let's do this. So, hold your nose with that hand, and you're going to take me with it. Cyrus, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ and raised to walk in newness of life. All right, let's pray, church. Father, thank you so much that we could see the gospel pictured, buried with Christ and raised to walk in newness of life. Thank you for the gospel. We come together this morning as family to celebrate that gospel and to enjoy the worship of you and the preaching of your word. We love you. We pray for these four lives, that we as a church would rally around them and encourage them in their pursuit of you. May their lives show the beauty of your work and how you want to glorify your name through them. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Kelly. It's a joy to experience that this morning with those children and their families. So we thank the Lord for his power that we see in Jesus' name of salvation and the resurrection, the conquering of the grave, and the victory that we have. So would you stand with us as we begin our service this morning by singing, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name"? Sing with us today.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. should by his grace and crown him Lord of all. To him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throne we at his feet may fall, we'll join the and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Who could imagine so great a mercy?
Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me. Set me free, hallelujah. life is passing and strength is fading, I'll see the one that I adore. Let this world vanish, walk in Jesus, my great desire, my true reward. Christ is all, Christ is all, and my song will ever be. Christ is all, Christ is all, and my song will ever be. Christ is all, Christ is all, Christ is all, and my song will ever be. Christ is all, all in all, and my song will ever be. Christ is all.
God, may that be our cry, our passion, our plea, that you would be all in all. We know it to be true. Lord, give us the desire and the understanding and the faith to know that you're going to follow through, because you are all in all. And we pray those things in your great name, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. The choir would like to sing this morning, and I'm thankful for them. They practice faithfully. And I'd like to sing a song, haven't sung in a while, but just giving us that encouragement of the mighty God that we have and the loving, steadfast love of our Savior. Mighty God, loving Savior.
Reaching rivers running free.
At this time, we're going to welcome the Leathers and Daniel and Sherry, however you guys are planning to do this today. It's good to have them back. They were here with us back in October when we were having our time of mission emphasis, but hearing how the Lord has been doing some really neat things in the months since then, and the journey that's ahead of them, and obviously with them and the wards getting ready to head back here soon, I felt like it was a good opportunity for us to get you here, so glad to have
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Amen. It's good to see you. Thank you.
Hi. Good morning. So today, all the family's with me, so I wanted to point them out. All of you stand up there. All right. So, yeah, there they are. So Marcus just got home Friday night and just in time to come up to Chattanooga from Word of Life. And so we're thankful to have some time with him for the next few weeks. Thank you so much for partnering with our family. Because of you and your partnerships, we are able to partner with others in Togo, which is pretty awesome. So I wanted to share with you just a few neat things that are going on right now with Studio Verite. Truth Studios there in Chico, Togo. And so one of the cool things is just recently we had a matching gift opportunity. We had a Christian businessman want to invest in the Studio Verite ministry and wanted to match every dollar up to $17,500. So that was met just this past month, and we had the opportunity to go ahead and get the equipment, the final equipment needed for our first phase within the studios, and we were able to drive it all the way up to Michigan to the container that is now on the road and heading to the port to Togo, which is absolutely wonderful. And so if you had a part with that, thank you so very much. Another thing that Studio Verite is partnering with is with our very own Christian Resource Center, and Judy Bowen is here today, and she leads that ministry. And one of the parts of this of the Christian Resource Center was an audio part, and Judy had started recording the Eve Old Testament some years ago, and Studio Verite was able to come along and partner, and we are recording that in our facilities right now, being led by Togolese, and we are now in the book of Jeremiah. So that is an exciting thing going on. When we transitioned, we were at Hope Radio in Mongo, up north in Togo, for some time, and we built and helped train the staff there. But in 2020, we transitioned 7 hours south. Hope Radio just celebrated 5 years being on the air, and we're thankful for that, and that ministry is going strong. Now the news ministry of Studio Verite, 7 hours south. One thing that, as we were praying about how this new ministry would look like was wanted to think outside the box of just audio and radio, and was just praying about what that would look like, and asked one question: what is in their hands? And you know what that answer was? Cell phones. So the cell service in Togo has just really skyrocketed the last few years, and everybody is getting cheap smartphones, and they can watch videos on their phone and so forth. And so that was an opportunity to incorporate video into the new ministry, of which we are going to be looking at. Do you have that video queued up? I want to share with you a video of another partnering project within ABWE's ministries, Good Soil Evangelism. And so Good Soil has developed many materials over the years, and they have chronological studies pointing to Christ that are really good for Muslim evangelism, and they also have beautiful artwork that has been developed, and we've been able to take the artwork and get permission to take the artwork and an audio script that they have developed, and we're able to take this and animate the actual flattened image, which is a little bit interesting, but I'll give you an example of what we're trying to do, and then we can take that and then translate that into the local languages. So go ahead and roll that. This is about a minute and a half long.
In the very beginning of the Bible, we see that he is called Elohim.
Then God said,
"Lights appear, shine in the sky above, and separate night from day. mark seasons and days and years, and give light to earth.
And it happened just as he said.
Ocean, be filled with fish and all kinds of sea creatures. Birds, fly through sky over earth.
That's how God created sea creatures, large and small, and all kinds of birds. Huge animals and tiny creatures appeared and began moving about on the earth. Their shapes were oh so different one from the other, and oh the sounds they created, roaring and neighing and braying and barking and meowing and elephants blowing their horns. What a symphony of praise to Almighty God! So the eternal, self-existent, Almighty God reached down and formed man from the dirt of earth. Then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Then God planted a beautiful garden in the east with all kinds of trees and placed man in the garden to care for it. To work the ground, God built the rib into a beautiful female and presented her to man. The man and woman were totally at ease and comfortable with each other, just as God had made them.
So this is just one example, just a couple stories within the Good Soil stories and able to be developed. And there's like 100 of them, which is awesome. So we can take these couple minute videos and send them out on WhatsApp or social media. And the Togolese are going to love this, and it's going to point them to Christ. And then one more partnership that the Lord has provided is with Mega Voice. And a couple years ago, Judy and I were on a conference call with Mega Voice, and they were actually beta testing this right here. And that was a couple years ago. It had some glitches and so forth. And come back this year, and we find out that this has actually been developed. So Mega Voice pointed us in the right direction. And also, one of the things that Studio Verite is doing is also partnering with our hospital, with our chaplains, and offering ways to train them in media and so forth. And one of the ways was to find ways to help them share the gospel on the bedsides and so forth of the patients that are there. And that this was just absolutely wonderful because it's a very simple tablet, and we were able to get the software to be able to encrypt it and to put our own material on there. And then they pointed us to Samaritan's Purse, who were also wanting to develop a tablet situation with their chaplains and hospitals as they serve all across the world in different hospitals. And so I was able to talk with this man, and we were able to communicate back and forth. And so we are actually helping them improve this product. And then the Samaritan's Purse came along and said, we want to help you, and provided the first 10 tablets for our hospital, which is wonderful. So these are just some wonderful things going on. There's so many more things. I'm glad the wards are here. It was great to see Zach, Darcy, Manny, and Cyrus get baptized this morning. It's great to worship with you guys this morning. Now there's opportunities for you. We have a little table out back with prayer cards. Come by and get one. Sign up for our newsletter to keep up to date, because what the Lord is going to be doing is just so awesome. And we're just so thankful to be a part. We're thankful to be your hands and feet in Togo. And thank you for partnering with us to allow us to be able to do that. Thank you, Pastor.
Stay up here, saint. Sherry, could you be willing to come up here as well? And I'd like for Andrew and Mary again, if you would. I know that we only have them for just a brief period of time. And as partners, why don't you stand down here? I'd like for us just to pray together with them. I know that the journey ahead for them there is no quick and easy. Yes, Judy, thank you. I'm excited we get to get you back in, is it July or August, Judy?
August,
yes. And it was, I was standing up to the choir and I looked down and I said, wait a minute, I know her. So I feel like we ought to break out in some African song right now, but I go ahead, Mary. Let's have a word of prayer and thank the Lord for the ministry, but also this is important to dedicate not only just them, but their children, the different ones that they're going to be touching life, and just grateful for the work that God is doing. Father, we're grateful for this ministry. And Lord, I love the fact that you never said it has to be a one-directional, one way. It, It allows the creativity of reaching to hearts and lives and to use the medium of multiple formats of media, print, digital, the word, everything that you're doing to get into the hearts of the Togolese. Thank you for the work that the Leathers, the Wards, Judy is doing. And just thank you again for our partnership with them. And Lord, I pray that you will provide, protect them, protect the plans, the ways that the devil just loves to get into the details of things. And I pray that you would make their movement back into the field swift, smooth, but yet at the same time, Lord, let it touch hearts and lives as they go. And Lord, just continue to bless them, we pray. Thank you for these times with them. And I pray that grace would stand with them, pray for them, and that we would remember them as they're serving you in distant lands. And it's Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. I appreciate your time here this morning. And as always, Grace, I hope that you will make opportunity to get by and see them, visit with them, interact with them. If you're not on a mailing list, an email list, you know, they're both great communicators, and I hope that you'll take a moment and do that. All right, let's go into John's gospel this morning, and Fred was like, you might get 15 minutes, and he was right. And so I'm going to kind of push through a segment of thought here and be a little bit more of a teaching, and kind of by understanding where we're at and also what today had. I don't want to be remiss, though, in us taking an opportunity to come into John's gospel again. We've been talking about this idea of come and see and how it is that the gospel of John begs the person who is reading it to have a glimpse, to have an understanding of who Jesus is. And what's important for us to appreciate in this gospel is that so many times we can get really caught up in the John 3:16, and we need that. We need the gospel in the sense of what this relationship with man is. But sometimes as believers and long-term believers, we can almost just start to tune out. We can almost get to a place where, you know, I've heard that before. And the beauty of the gospel is that it's always at work inside of us, that the beauty of what Christ is doing is always making us into what he is trying to do because of the power of the cross and the beauty of what Jesus Christ is doing in us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so today, as we come into John chapter 3 and looking at these verses, and I'm going to really, for the sake of time this morning again, just draw our attention to really to verse 5 and down to really verse 8. And through verse 12. And so let's go to there, because we have this conversation that is with Nicodemus, and there's a question of how can a man be born when he's old, verse 4. How is it that a person is born again? And he says in verse 5, Jesus answered, truly, truly, or verily, verily, or truth, truth. You got to listen to this. That's basically what that statement is there. Listen up, pay attention. I'm about to tell you something very important. And it's an expression, an idiomatic expression that they would use. So, truth, truth. I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. And so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truth, truth, truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. And if I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Back in 2002, Verizon began a campaign, an ad campaign, that they simply entitled The Test Man. You remember this guy? He would go into different situations and he would ask the question. What would he ask? Tell me. Isn't it amazing? We know that. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? I was looking at some of the pictures of 2002, some of the pictures from the different ad campaigns. Flip phones. Flip phones. Now, if you've got a flip phone, I am not making fun of you much. All right. But in any case, 2002, this ad campaign ran for 9 years. For 9 years, the Verizon guy, the test man, would come on the scene. Paul, and I'm going to butcher his last name. I need my Italian friends, probably. It's Marcarelli or something like that, Marcarelli. And he came to the end of his contract. And for 9 years, Paul's
contract that stipulated that he could do no other commercials and that he was to keep himself, you know, his identity quiet. He wasn't really supposed to go out and use his notoriety as something to be noted. And then he was also to never share any details of the ad campaign. But then in 2011, when Paul's contract ended, he was approached by Sprint, a major competitor to Verizon, with the idea of another ad campaign. And that TV campaign was called Paul Switched. It was a major boost to Sprint's marketing campaign, a very struggling cellular company by this time, and became known as one of the boldest ad campaigns in modern times. We come to John chapter 3, and again we find one of the boldest conversations in the early stages of Jesus' earthly ministry. And he is having a conversation here with the teacher of Israel, not just a teacher, but the teacher of Israel, Nicodemus. And Jesus doesn't even allow Nicodemus to ask a question. He knows what's inside a man. This comes out of chapter 2. He knows what the question is that's really lingering in Nicodemus' heart. And he comes to this part of the conversation where Nicodemus is telling him, oh man, you're great. You're a teacher. We know you're from God because nobody could do what you're doing unless God is with him. Blah, 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 wah, 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 wah. And Jesus goes right to verse 3. I'm telling you right now, unless you're born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God. What? And that's led us into this dialogue that we have in this conversation. What does it require for a person to enter into the kingdom of God? Let me ask you that question this morning. Maybe you're sitting here and you're wondering, well, what does it matter? Or maybe you're experiencing some doubts and some questions. You've just observed a baptism and you're in your mind saying, well, I've never done that, or I did it back when I was an infant, or I did it back in another setting, or you know what, I don't even know if I really understood what I did when I did that. But what does it mean? What does it really mean? And what is it required? What's required for a person to have eternal life? Christ is calling Nicodemus. And if you're here this morning looking for the answer to that question, he's calling on you to make the big switch. But a switch from what and to what? And that again is part of what we discussed last time, how Nicodemus was very confused as well by what Christ had introduced here by way of this statement of being born again. And it's a reminder that that word in the originals could be translated as not just again, but also from above, or even the word top. And so we understand that what Nicodemus heard versus what Jesus was really saying were very distinct from one another. It's not about the physical birth. It's not the fact that you're present here this morning and that you exist. It is about an understanding of something that is spiritual. And there it is. That's where most people just check out. Perhaps you just checked out. Because now we're going to talk about spiritual things, and I don't really get into that spiritual stuff. But the problem is that unless you have the ability to answer how it is that you can truly have eternal life, then you are left with the ultimate decision that God has already placed upon you, and that you stand under the wrath of God. You already are there. It's not a matter of you accepting it, acquiescing to it, or not. It's a matter of understanding that where you are in God's estimation is his determination and not yours. But it is your choice as to whether or not you will accept what he has to offer to you as the entry fee, as the exchange of what is yours now for what he has to offer to you. This Nicodemus is a Jew. He's a true leader of righteousness for his people. And if we could get to Nicodemus's funeral, I'm sure everybody would say, if anybody is in heaven, it's Nicodemus. And with that, Jesus makes it very clear that unless you are born from above, you will not, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Unless a person is born of water and the Spirit. So it's not about an old man crawling back into his even older mother's womb and trying again to be born. That's not the point. And with this thought in verse 5 is where we're going to pick up today. What is Jesus meaning here by the statement of water and spirit? And so we're going to do our best to touch on this, and what we don't have time for, we'll get when we come back to John again. One thing is clear on the grammar here is that there's a preposition, and if you like your languages, then you'll understand. He says here in verse 5 that unless one is born, and then there's that little preposition of water. And what's interesting is there is no definite article in the original. And I would even venture to say he's not even really here talking about the Holy Spirit, but it's the idea of water and spirit. And that little preposition combines both of them together, and he's speaking about the same thing when he references both of these words. That which is born from above is born of water and spirit. So what does he mean? What's being talked about here? What is it that Christ is alluding to? So let's get into a couple of simple aspects of this, and we'll do our best to move through this with some haste, but also with hopefully some clarity. Number one is this. Let's look at the illustration. All right, we have an illustration here that Christ uses, and that's really verses 5-8. He uses two ideas. There are two thoughts that Christ uses to illustrate. There's water and there's wind. And later on, Jesus is going to move to another illustration later down in verses 13 and 14, where he talks about a serpent that Moses lifts up in the wilderness. And that's a different illustration in the sense that it's tying together a continuation of thought, but it's not necessarily talking about the same thing. There have been a lot of attempts to explain the use of water and spirit. And maybe you're familiar with one or even a few of these as you've studied the Gospel of John over the past, but some attempts have tried to argue that the use of water symbolizes the physical birth. That what Jesus is referring to here is the amniotic fluid in the sac around the child as the child gives birth, the water that is released, and so water and spirit, they're talking about two sides of that. And the reason why they venture to that is because of verse 6, because what is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is the spirit is spirit. The problem with that, though, is again that preposition. You got to keep in mind that the whole birth experience here is what comes from above. He's not talking about a physical birth here. He's talking about something that comes from God, something that is coming down as a spiritual, something that is only from God, that which is of water and spirit. And that prepositional phrase, again, is controlling both of them. So he has seen this as one and the same. So then that leads some other people to believe that what he's talking about here is some form of baptism. Water, spirit. That's a spiritual thing, isn't it? So some would say that he's referring to a Christian baptism, or perhaps he's referring to John the Baptist's baptism. Well, again, who is he talking to? He's talking to a very staunch Jew who understands baptisms, yes. He understands the concept of the mikvahs. He understands those aspects, but that doesn't have anything to do with Christian baptism. And we're also pressing something that he is supposed to understand. He is supposed to interpret these things because what does Christ later on say? Wait a minute, you're a teacher, the teacher of the Jews, and you don't get this? So Christ isn't using something that has some symbolic meaning for a sect, for a group of people that isn't Nicodemus's clan or crowd. If it's John's baptism, then we're putting a lot of weight on it. And if John's baptism lies behind the idea of water, that would suggest that what Jesus is saying is that he is making the Baptist rite a requirement for entrance into the kingdom, even though in just a little while, he's going to absolutely abolish that. So now we're left again, if that's the case, we're left with the discovery as to, well, then how do I get into the kingdom of God if John the Baptist's baptism is not what we're talking about here? So either view of baptism needs to warrant a need for it to be repeated, and you never find it again repeated in this section. He just simply talks about this concept of being born from above, that this birth is from above. It's something that is not performed by something here on earth. This is God's doing without any human activity attached to it. So Christ is distinguishing what is of this earth from what is from God. And that's the point of verse 6. What is of the earth is of the earth. What is from the Spirit is from the Spirit. So what is Jesus referring to then when he talks about water and spirit? I'm glad you asked that. I'll answer in a little bit. Hold on. From there, he uses another illustration. So water, and then he goes into the wind. The illustration moves from that to an emphasis on the activity of the Spirit, the mystery around the wind. And in those days, the science really wasn't known, but they certainly have felt the effects. They noticed the passing of the wind inside of the grass. They could feel the breeze in their faces. They could sense its passing as the trees and the things would move, and there goes the wind. But they don't know where it comes from, and you know, I wonder how far it'll go. The sense of wind in connection to the Spirit is another use of the surroundings that Christ would use so many times in taking people's look at what was seen and help them to see things that aren't seen as illustrations. So what is Jesus trying to point out? So let's go to the second point, and here's the application. In verses 9 through 13, he begins to take these things and help Nicodemus to understand, because Nicodemus asks again, so how can these things be? And he says in verse 10, Jesus said, are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Nicodemus, I haven't told you anything that you shouldn't already know. You should see this. This is not rocket science that I'm telling you. They didn't even know what a rocket was, so that really would have been amazing, wouldn't it? The key to understanding this section is to hear what we find in these next verses. In verse 9, Nicodemus, he's still confused. And I'll tell you, he's getting frustrated. You can tell in the tone and the movement of this passage just moves Nicodemus. He's just feeling like a boxer in the ring. He can't even get his gloves up. He just keeps getting punched and keeps getting hit with one more statement, one more thing. And his mind is just reeling because he's not hearing the words that Jesus is saying. He's supplying his own definitions to everything that Jesus is trying to give to him. And I don't know how many times in life we do that. We don't listen to God. We are God. I will supply my definition to this. I will put myself in control of this. And at the heart of that, in many ways, that's exactly what Jesus is begging of Nicodemus to understand. Nicodemus, your theological mind is not in control. You're not listening. You're not hearing me. You are, in verse 10, you are the teacher of Israel. I tell you, Nicodemus was no slouch. This was most likely one of the most senior teachers of all the Sanhedrin. And in fact, Jesus is telling Nicodemus that everything that he has said up to this point is something that Nicodemus should have already seen because of what he had already been studying in the Old Testament. It's all right there, Nicodemus. Why is it that you don't see it? Maybe it's because you're trying to supply it with another answer. Nicodemus, how are you not understanding this? How is that possible if you have been truly reading the words of God handed down to you from Moses and the prophet? And so this informs us that Jesus is not speaking about something that is hidden. He's not trying to trip Nicodemus up. The water that Jesus is referring to comes from understanding these three governing statements that are given within the text. First, the birth that is from above is not tied to anything that is spiritual, of this earth, And second of all, the preposition governs both the water and the spirit, as in verse 5 says. And then third, the fact that Jesus almost berates Nicodemus for not seeing what he is referring to in his studies of the Old Testament. And when you take all three of those together, it lets us understand that he is talking about something that is uniquely gifted from God. And even though the statement of water and spirit is not used in the Old Testament like here in John chapter 3, the elements and the use of those two elements in passages are. I like how Carson, when he wrote this, he says, when water is used figuratively in the Old Testament, it habitually refers to renewal or cleansing, especially when it is found in conjunction with the Spirit. Unless you are born of something that renews you, that has the power to transform, to cleanse you in something that is uniquely of God, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So what would Nicodemus have been reading? Well, let me give you some examples. Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 19 and 20. And I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them, and I will take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and then they will be my people and I shall be their God. Or maybe it's Ezekiel 36, verses 24 through 27, where it says, "For I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the lands and bring you into your own land." And then verse 25, "I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. And moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances." Or maybe it would be like what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34, where Jeremiah writes, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more." Nicodemus, did you not know that this day was coming? You can read the prophet Joel, who is amazing because that's who Peter quotes in Acts. When Christ tells of a coming spirit that he will pour out his spirit upon his people. Almost like water. That there is a sense of cleansing, a cleansing that doesn't come through the sacrifice of animals. It's a sense of falling upon a heart that's made no longer out of stone, no longer out of a heart that is recalcitrant, is resistant, but that there is a hunger, there is a longing for this relationship with God within their heart. And this is what comes from God, something not from the old traditions or from the old ways, but something new was to come. And so Nicodemus, it's time for the big switch. That wind that you cannot control, the power that is not of anything that man has made, it's blowing. And the Spirit, God's Spirit, is ready to change the heart of stone into hearts that are tender and alive. To move from what is of the earth to that which only God can bring. And when you think of something being spiritual, do you think of it as something mystical, unobtainable, or just irrelevant? And what Jesus is introducing here in John 3 is not something mysterious, but powerful. It's not something unobtainable, but it is something that is given only by God. It is not something irrelevant because it is a matter of life and death. Do you know that you are guaranteed to exist past this earthly existence in this lifetime? But do you know that only God can grant you a promise that comes with life attached instead of condemnation and death? Did you know that? And are you still trusting in something that you have done or in something that someone has done to you? Or are you trusting in Jesus who has done something for you? He alone has the words of life. He alone is the one who can set us free from death and exchange our death sentence for eternal life. Have you ever made the big switch? Have you ever trusted in Jesus? Have you ever come and seen him for who he is? That he alone can give you this life, his life, not life that you can manufacture or create here. It's not in your control, and that's where most people get stumped. It's because I'm no longer the authority. It's God. And maybe that's your biggest hang-up, is you don't want somebody bigger telling you what's true. Christ had to get Nicodemus to see it. And maybe his greatest need in your life is for you to see it as well. Have you ever made the big switch? Have you recognized what Jesus Christ alone can do for you? That no baptism of water, no church member attendance, by just even showing up, it doesn't rub off. It's through what Jesus alone can do for your sin to give eternal life. If you've got a question about that, or if there is something that's lingering and you have a need to reconcile that question, talk with me. Talk with one of our leaders. Kelly was up here in the baptism. We've got Fred sitting down here. If you're a lady, we've got other ladies that would love to take what God's word has to say and show you how you can know without a doubt that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Let's stand together for a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you will bless us as we think on these things that we have seen and heard, the testimony of grace that you have given to us through the life of those who are serving you in different places, but also even these young people as they are witnesses and testifying of what you have accomplished in their life. Lord, I pray for that one that may be here today that has never submitted to your authority. They're still trying in their best attempt to make this life as good as it can be. But Lord, it's not so much about this life. It is about the life that is to come even after this. Will there be an eternal life with you or eternal separation from you? And Lord, may we truly appreciate what you have done for us as the believers, the redeemed, the blood-bought. May we be grateful for what you've accomplished in our life. So bless us now, I pray. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Would you join us?
I was a wretch, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. From the far side of the chasm, you held me in your side. So you made a way across the great divide, left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross you paid the debt I owed, broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood, the blood that calls us sons and daughters. Through the blood, the blood.
Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. And thank you for the word that we can experience and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus saves. Thank you, Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we pray those things. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We have a lot of visitors with us. We have a fellowship time for everyone for a few minutes before our discipleship classes back in the fellowship hall. So if you'd like to join us, we'd love to meet you and chat with you for a few minutes. Lord bless you. Have a good rest of your day.